What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Sell and Tell podcast. Today's episode is going to be brought to you by Elysian Marketing. Marketing services aimed towards builders and real estate agents in the DFW area. You can find them at elysianmarketing.us or give them a call at 817-381-8961. Today, we have an awesome episode waiting for you. Today, we're going to sit down and talk to Roddy Shaw. Roddy, do you want to go ahead and give us a little bit of your background? And then I know you have a listing of the week as well, so we'll get there too.
Hey, Jess. Good morning. Yes, I am happy to give you a little bit of information about me. I am Roddy Shaw, and I'm with Real Brokers. And I have been working as a realtor for 25 years. The main reason I became a realtor was I had a terrible experience with my home, and I was with the builder that we were building with, and I found an underground room on the lot, if you can believe it. That's not even heard of in Texas. But anyway, they didn't tell me about it. And I am so grateful that happened because we resolved it. That's when I found out I was good at what I was doing. And I love homes and architecture. And so I've been working now for 25 years and enjoying every minute of it.
Awesome. Well, I know you have a listing of the week, so you want to tell us a little bit about that as well?
Sure. This home is in McKinney, Texas, and it feeds to Frisco ISD, which is very popular, and it's a great school district, and it's a good price point. It's in low 600, so 615,000. It's about almost 2,900 square feet, four bedrooms, two and a half baths, and is completely renovated. So smart switches to quartz counters, flooring has been redone, fresh carpet, fresh paint, and it very, very tastefully done. It is going live tomorrow, and for Frisco ISD, it's a very attractive size and price point. And it's in a golf course community, and so very easily accessible, and so wonderful, wonderful opportunity for a first-time home buyer to somebody moving from out of town or even somebody downsizing because the primary suite is downstairs.
Yeah, Frisco ISD, that'll be really nice.
Yes.
Well, let's go ahead and dive into our episode today. We want to know, especially about buyers choosing the right real estate agent, what that looks like, what your experience looks like. So what are some of the key qualities of a great agent? Some things that you offer to buyers that set you apart?
I think the most important quality in a good agent is honesty. How honest they are about the buyer's situation and how can they guide them so that the whole process becomes clear. Without honesty, you're off to a rough start because I think ultimately honesty is the only way to build trust. And without trust, the buyers don't know whether to depend on you or not. And they don't, if they can't trust, they will ultimately not feel confidence about the decision, a huge decision that they are making. So honesty, trust, and then the third thing is respect. Both sides deserve respect, and that is a good foundation for a relationship that's going to be quite intimate. If the realtor is doing their job, then they need to be intimately involved with their client's situation. So those are the three items that build a foundation, good foundation to build the rest of it on. Besides that, it's knowledge, and there should be a framework of how to help a client. And that framework was to kind of a funnel process is what I use to help them narrow down to this ideal perfect home. And that process, for me, it takes only a couple of meetings. If you don't do that, then they're all over the place. And you're wasting their precious time, even though they don't realize it. So I think there should be a strategy in place. There should be knowledge of the neighborhoods. There's so many important aspects of this. I could just go on and on and on. But ultimately, the three foundational values, honesty, trust, and respect, both sides, as well as understanding of the market and knowledge and then a structure for them to follow.
Are there any red flags that you want to avoid when selecting an agent?
Biggest red flag is money should not motivate an agent. If money is the motivating factor, then they are not right for you. They are not going to care whether the house is good or not, whether it has foundation problems. They are just going to want the deal done regardless of how good it is. And I feel that I see too many of those. The second complicated, and it's kind of difficult for new agents. Sometimes the new agents have zero knowledge, but they don't get help. They don't get a co-agent to support them. Anybody can do a good job. However, if they don't know something, they have to reach out and get support or get that knowledge. And even today, after 25 years, there are things that we come across that are unusual. In that case, I will even go today, there shouldn't be an ego situation where, you know, it prevents you from getting information. So ultimately, the client's best interest should be the agent's best interest.
Well, then how would one vet an agent? What are some questions to ask? Are you going to be checking reviews and referrals, or are there some specific questions that you want a buyer to know going into?
Sure, that's an excellent question, because you know all these things, but how do you know that you have the right agent? So one of the ways that the reviews obviously are the most obvious way to check an agent. So I would not even go to an agent who has been referred or you come across without seeing the reviews. That's number one. But if an agent is extremely experienced and doesn't have reviews, then you want to see some proof if you don't know them already. If you know them, that's a different matter. So reviews. And then second, when you're meeting face-to-face, I would ask for examples. Like, tell me how you saved a client money, or how did you negotiate? Give me an example of how you help somebody save time, depending on their situation. It's like somebody in our situation, give me an example of how you help them narrow down to a specific home. That tells you if they're listening to you. It also tells you they have good stories to give, to share, that tell you what problems occurred and how were they resolved. Because if everything goes smoothly, it doesn't matter, right? But what is the agent going to do when they run into a big issue? How are they going to stand behind them and say, okay, we need to get out of this contract, right? If there is a big problem, how did they resolve it? How are they going to write offers that give the buyers the time to back out if something big is discovered through the process? Are they using strategy there? And it's the same for sellers, but for buyers, there are so many ways we can control the process by adding extra time in the contract for something, just getting it out if there is a problem. Now, if the house is great. Also, another thing comes to mind is that How much knowledge do they have about foundations, and are they, is the agent who is going to look at the homes, is, are they knowledgeable about the problems that occur? Are they showing an inspection report before they see homes to kind of say, okay, these are the problems that we are going to look for. These are the things that, this is what an inspection report looks like on any property. The more knowledge the buyers have without overwhelming them, the better decision they can make. Ultimately, it's their decision, not our decision. And some realtors take it too much upon themselves that they know more. I don't like to do that. I give knowledge and then it's up to the to my client to make a good decision for themselves. You know, if they want to take that risk, that is their right to do that. Mm-hmm. But I would like to have protection in place for them.
Yeah. And ultimately it's about what the buyer wants and needs. And I do see that we have, there are some younger agents out there that are just so hungry sometimes that they jump the gun on some of these things and they just push and push. And so maybe taking a step back, working with somebody like you to be able to teach them that it's okay. Let's just let the buyer roll with what they need.
Exactly. The sooner they learn the different strategies that other experienced realtors include in their process, the faster they will grow, the better they will do.
Yeah, I agree. So let's talk about this tough real estate market for a second, because it's a big topic. So how are buyers, how can they compete? How can agents compete with these buyers in a low demand market? I mean, we know it's slowing up. What does that look like? How is the competition?
The one of the best things that the new realtors or even realtors who are have a bit of, don't have a pipeline of buyers or sellers and want to build one, is that they can do open houses. Open houses are, I've heard many, many times, I have observed other realtors, and it is a fantastic opportunity to connect. Ultimately, it's about connecting with people. Without those connections, there's no next step. So open houses are, I love doing open houses. There's a caveat, it's time consuming. But when I do open houses, because it's always on the weekends and it's weekends are busy, there is a strategy again there of how to convert buyers who are looking for help. We are not trying to bother anybody who doesn't need our help. But, you know, you're doing buyers a disservice if you're good enough and you don't approach them, then they are losing out. And they may go to somebody who has no clue what they're doing, and they end up thinking, oh my God, this, they don't even know till they go to sell that the mistake that they made is going to impact their bottom line. So it is our responsibility as an agent to reach the buyers that need help. So one of the ways is open house. It's a sure way of doing it. And then follow up. And another is social media. You just have to put yourself out there and let people know that you're in the business and you want to work with buyers and sellers. And so have to be respectful about it, not salesy, but there's a way to do it. It's constantly evolving, though. Yeah.
So with open houses, for some of our younger agents and newer agents out there, how do you make that approach? Do you approach other agents that, you know, they need somebody at their home that weekend? How does that work?
Yeah, basically, there are listing agents who are constantly looking for support. I know I am looking for a lot of support many times, because I'll do one on Saturday and then the Sunday, 2 days in a row, is almost impossible. So we are reaching out, and people are not willing to step up. Okay, so reach out in the networks that we have, Facebook groups, within the company. And a lot of people don't like to do open houses because they don't know how to do them. They don't know how to do them. I also, when I ask people to do open houses for me, I will include a 10-15 minute call that will guide them how to do it. The first thing is to just approach. It's the energy that you have and the way you approach. Not be afraid. Have confidence. Say, please, owners have asked you to us to get everyone to sign in, and they say they sign in. It needs to be a service oriented approach. It's like, what are you looking for? How are you finding homes out there? Just talk. Talk with people without pressurizing them, but ask them, it's like, anything I can do to help. But you don't want to say that because then they back off, because you're not trying to help them. You don't even know them. So the key is building trust, giving them space, understanding why they are there, what is their situation. Again, you're not saying all those things, you're just saying, so what brings you here? Did you see the sign, or did you, you know, sorting questions? Did you see the signs, or did you just happen to drive by, or did you see it on Zillow? And those sorting questions may keep it short and sweet, where they can answer with one or two words till they ask you something. Now you get, and I have been told by, buyers, it's like, oh, nobody has told us any of this. I'm so glad we met you. So, and then you do a meeting in person. It's like, has anybody shown you how to, the game plan and what the whole process of buying a home is? And then you educate them. It is from a service oriented standpoint. You are not there to get people. You're there to help. And when that happens, and somebody doesn't want to talk, they don't talk, and somebody wants all the information you give them, you have to feel your way through. But the most important point is respect them, but also try and help them. And most people let their guard down when they see that you're coming from a good place. And so if it's a new agent, that is where you learn. You practice there. And it's okay to mess up, you know, but learn at the, I would do, if I was a new agent today, I didn't know this when I started, but I would do open houses every weekend, two at least a day, a weekend.
Wow.
Yeah.
They say for new agents that open houses, if you're a new agent, you should be doing open houses at least, if there's 52 weeks in the year, you should be doing them 40 of those weeks. And if you're a new agent and you don't know how to do an open house, most likely your brokerage has a class on it. If they don't, you should look up Tom Ferry or Ninja Selling, because they both have great classes on doing open houses. Open houses are a great way to connect with, like you said, the neighborhood and adding names to your database, because your database is your most important way of gaining sales to your pipeline.
True. Can I say one more thing? Check your ego at the door. I think the biggest mistake we make is don't understand. We don't have to act a certain way. Just be kind. Be kind. Not necessarily nice. Be kind. And that means have the conviction that you are there for a reason. You're there to help, but at the same time, you're there to build the business. And ask other agents who are willing to tell you. Like, anybody can call me and ask me. I'll be happy to explain what I do. But I had a lady who did not want to talk. And I just had the right energy. And she said, well, we have an agent already. We want to, we'll sell and then buy. But I need the right house. So I said, great that you have somebody. But if you want a second opinion, I'll bring the coffee, I'll just stop by 15 minutes and I'll be happy, free. I am not there to get this. I just want you to know you have another option. A week later, she called me and she said, I want you to help us buy this house that we have found. I said, why me? And she said, because I know you will work harder than my other agent hasn't even responded. And I helped her buy and sell. That was 1.5 million total sale. And just because of the open house, and even though she was standoffish, I didn't take it personally. I just said, like, hey, happy to help you. And my energy of not having an ego, not having taken it personally, gave her the confidence that, yeah, this is the right person. That's how easy it can be at times.
Yeah. It reminds me so much of when you're coming from the home building side, and I know you've been in plenty of model homes, but a lot of the sales counselors that are first starting out, they're very young. Their goal in their mind is, let me just get somebody to fill out my card. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's the same concept. Whenever somebody walks in your door, don't push the card and the pen to them. Let's figure out where we're going with this. Because if they're walking through your door, they're there for the house. You don't have to ask them why they're there. But
that's true. In an open house, though, if you don't get that, you're lost everything. Now, if they say, the first thing I do is that my clients want everybody to sign in, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's somebody's private home. And there is no pressure, but everybody signs in. They could put something fake. How do I know, right? But people sign in because it's not brashly done, rudely done. It's just a request, and they sign in. The way you ask is how you will get the response. And so after they sign in, then I make notes, and they say, no, we're really not even looking. We just like looking at houses. Then that goes in. I'm not going to bother them. But if you don't have the email, phone number, and that, and I will literally go in and say, oh, I can't even read what you've written. Is this how? And I will correct it. So I don't have an app yet. I just haven't gone to that stage yet. But I will review it in front of them and then ask them questions. And that's when they start talking. I would say 80% of the people talk. Even if they have a realtor, they tell me what they're looking for, because I could have an off-market listing, right? That is perfect for them. So it's just, even though you have somebody, I may know of a property that fits your need. So I'm there to help and support. So they literally don't mind giving me a lot of information because of that.
Yeah, and that's such a good point as well, is even if the house that they're walking into that Saturday doesn't work for them, you may have something else available.
Yeah.
So let's shift over to from buyers to sellers real quick. When you have a seller and they're trying to maximize their home value and attract some top offers, how do they go about doing that? I mean, the market is slowing down, the interest rates are higher. How do we get there?
So one thing that I do to show them what the true market is do an odds analysis. It's like, okay, in your neighborhood or the extended neighborhood, depending on the location and their situation, how many homes have sold, how many came on the market, and the time it took to sell the houses. So what's the average time? Without that, they have no clue. We don't have any clue. Because if you think about it, the data is 30 days old. When a house goes on the market and then it sells, we find out about it about anywhere from 25 to 45 days, depending on when they close. That means that the ownership is transferred. That's when the data comes out. So it's 30-day-old data. So without doing a sort of analysis that five homes came on the market in the last 4 months or 3 months or even 6 months, when it's a changing market, you have to do short-term and long-term. Let's say five homes came on the market. two came and did not sell. But out of these five, two are available, one is under contract, and two sold. Now, how do those compare to your home? What is the trend that you see? Why are, if you look at the sold homes, there will be something that will be similar. You can tell they are in great condition or they have a fantastic view or something or the other. You take out the ones that are not a match, or but you show them what they are. But in the equation of understanding the market, you take those out. And then you see how many days will it stay on the market. So this analysis is, I think, it's part of the process, but it's a huge process for the sellers to understand, and their lives are going to be on hold. So they need to know this information. The second part, based on this, besides the sharing the process of what all they need to do, you also need to talk to them about how does their home compare and what do they want. There are three pricing strategies that I tell my clients about. So based on what their pricing strategy is, do they want the maximum money, or do they want least amount of time, or do they want the most convenience? That means not preparing the home and so on. It's like, we have no way we are going to do a thing to the house. Then you have to price it accordingly. But to help them do that, then you have to compare what has sold, what's on the market, the competition, and how does their home compare. Now they have two important pieces of information to help them decide. After that, they will know and understand, and you guide them as an agent, what do they need to do to prepare the home. This part of preparation and the whole pricing strategy and all of that is key to them having a great experience. Most realtors don't do this. They just like, oh, this is how much? Okay, the house is 750 based on our numbers, but you want to start at 800? Sure. And that's how it starts. It is just mind-boggling. There's no preparation. It's like, okay, yeah, but it may take time. How much time? Well, here, take a look at this. And then when you give all of this information, it helps them. They can still price it at 800, but then you can say, okay, let's try it an aspirational price point for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, or we will then have to take it off the market. It's their house. They just need one buyer, or maybe they feel that I want to give it a shot. Then let's try it. That we'll take it off the market if it doesn't work, and then we will relist it much. Then maybe we'll paint the house, which is in green and blue colors. You know, we don't want to do it now. We'll try it out. It's their home. What we do is like, no, I cannot put it on the market. It's not about us. It's about them. And if they want to do it, as long as they have a clear understanding that this is a trial listing. We don't expect things to happen, but if they do, great. But our true marketing will start when we prepare the home based on what the buyers are expecting. And how do you know what the buyers are expecting? You can see what homes are selling. And then you can compare. Yeah. If everything has white cabinet, if every home in that neighborhood or around is sold that has white cabinet, and we have these dark, dark colors, people don't want the dark colors anymore. So you have to do something about that. And that is how you show them. You show home after home after home after proof over, not promise, but proof over just telling them. It's not our word. They need to see it. The more they see it, the more they understand. Then they can make the right decision.
So. I wonder, how often do you have sellers that they want to be ambitious with this pricing, and they look at your information but still say, well, no, I want $50,000 more? And does that happen a lot, or are they pretty accommodating?
it's a constant because we've gone through the pandemic where the prices were higher and they're used to feeling that. So that's where my sort of helping them is like, okay, we can do that. What is plan B? How, if we do that and it's nothing has happened or we get very low offers or what is the next step then? What are you willing? And that's where we have to tie them down to being truthful. Oh no. And I've had recently I have a client who, a good person, kind person, but he's like, well, if you don't do your job, and I'm like, okay, you wouldn't even be talking to me if you felt that I wouldn't be doing my job. Mm-hmm. Because I've already gone through that. So it's like, I'm not part of the equation. And I have reached a point where I really don't care. I'm going to tell you like it is. If it's a person that, well, you're expecting 100%, 200% from me, I'm expecting the same from you as my client. It can't be mm-hmm. one way or the other. And if it is less, then I don't want to work with them. Because I'm going to be held under a knife. And when they are being unreasonable. So that's the part of having a pipeline where you don't have this one house where they rule. And it's not about ruling. It's more about being realistic. We're putting our hard earned time, money, effort, everything into this. We're spending money before we even earn them. So we have to be good at making decisions and try it out. If one is new, try this out. You all the experience that you can get is worth it. Crappy mm-hmm. as well as great. So a new agent should not be saying no, but learn how to sort of hold your client's feet to the fire nicely by telling them, it's like, if this doesn't happen, what is your plan B? How long are you going to try? Because I do not want to hear, and I can say that now, most people shouldn't, but I don't want to talk 2 weeks later saying, oh, I have, it's overpriced. And everything is in writing. So I literally do an odds analysis. I put Zillow value, I put Redfin value, and I show them, this is what the buyers are looking at. This is my number for you. I have it in writing. So you didn't tell us that. No, I did. Here it is. And so everything is in writing so they can, a lot of my clients will understand and they know the value of my opinion and knowledge. So they will, there are a few of them who want to try it out and I don't take it personally again. They can try it out as long as we have a long-term contract that when it goes off the market to readjust the clock, we are going to adjust the price, do what's necessary, and then put it on the market. I will have that all in writing. I'm not doing the about, 50K above without that, because otherwise it's too much work.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, and this is why we're seeing price decreases because of unrealistic sellers. You know, they're wanting to price it well above what their agents are telling them it's worth.
Also, Cindy, that the pricing is adjusting. That's the market also, market dynamics, right? The fourth quarter was very, very slow. And mm-hmm. January it picked up. So sometimes it's not and sometimes it is. So this year, election year, last year, it was very slow. So you don't really know every single time. As long as they have time and you can adjust the price when there are buyers looking, I think it's fair to do it as long as it's for a shorter time frame.
Well, let's talk about the agents for a little bit, because I know there's some reports coming out. I do want to hear about that a little bit. I know, Cindy, you have a report coming out regarding agents in the market. So let's talk about that for a little bit, because it is quite interesting to see the fluctuation from COVID times to now.
Right. This actually, Inman News posted this report last month in January. And for those of not familiar with Inman News, it's a well-known in real estate industry magazine or online magazine. And they posted this report saying basically that 71% of the 1.5 million real estate agents out there did not close any transactions in 2024. So that basically is, if you've got 10 agents in front of you, 10 real estate agents in front of you, seven of them didn't do anything at all in 2024. So they're attributing this to part-time agents, which obviously in Roddy's case, that's not the case. I mean, we've known each other for about 25 years. And, you know, I know that you hit the ground running every morning. So that's definitely not the case. But there are those agents out there that this is their second or third job. And so they are not maybe as experienced, or this is not their primary vocation. And I think that is something that both buyers and sellers need to be concerned about when they're looking and trying to choose an agent. Because realistically, that means that there's only, if you've got 10 agents in front of you, seven of them didn't do anything last year. They may not be familiar also with how the new laws that have taken effect here recently, you know, how those are being done in the new contracts. So you've got basically 30% of the agents out there that are doing transactions. They know how to write those contracts now. And they know how those contracts affect both the buyers and sellers. So in the Dallas-Fort Worth market, we've got about 10,000 agents in the area, and about, I think, 6,500, 7,500 are residential realtors. So if you look at that number, only 30% of those are actually doing business. So only 30% of that 7,500 actually closed a deal last year. That's kind of scary. So buyers and sellers need to know they really need to be interviewing and knowing that they need to be looking at people like Roddy and making sure that the person that they're selecting for their agent is experienced, knows what they're doing, and this is not somebody who is also, you know, has a full-time job elsewhere, and their mother's, brother's, uncle's cousin, you know, is telling them to, you know, use them or whatever because this is their side gig or whatever. This is, I mean, they may be trying, and they're maybe trying to break into the market, and I don't disparage anybody who's trying to get into the real estate industry at all. I mean, good for you, but you know, agents out there nowadays, the full-time agents, they're experienced, and buyers and sellers out there now, they need to know who they're dealing with. So especially with the new laws in place and these new contracts, it's important for them. With the increase, so when I was watching Brian Buffini's Bold Predictions podcast or interview this year, and he had Lawrence Yoon on there, the chief economic from NAR, they're predicting an uptick in home sales this spring. And but they're saying that interest rates are going to stay in the sixes. Roddy, what do you think about that? What are you seeing?
I have been waiting for the interest rates to drop. They kept telling us they're going to go down. I'm happy that they're not in the sevens. And they're right now, from what I know, it's mid 6.5 or around, you know, mid 6.5. But, you know, the interesting thing is, so I feel that six is not bad in the sixes, because I think it's better than not being going up. If they drop below six, fantastic. But more than likely, it's not going to happen because inflation is still is an issue. And right now, one thing I want to talk about interest rates and the market and all that. There, it's amazing when I work with buyers and then there's some, or if I am I'm representing a seller, so I see the what rates the buyers are getting, and depending on the lender, you can get almost a point, full point difference. So somebody's getting six and another lender's giving the same person seven or 6.8. There is a huge difference in the lender. So you almost have to, if somebody who's out there looking to buy, you have to know different lenders so you can get the best rate. Even when the rates are high, every point, percentage point, or every point percentage, however we say it, it matters to bring it down. And the total cost. So there's always a way around it, but I feel that the market is, that's what I'm reading too and hearing too, that the market is going to be active. It doesn't mean that we're going to have an easy time selling. We got really spoiled in the pandemic if you were helping sellers. And for buyers, it was crazy competing. And now buyers can compete. I mean, come on, you can get 50,000 off on a house because it sits on the market. They bring it down, they bring it down, they bring it down, and I have 50K off. Now, this would be the perfect time and you're not going to compete as much. So we still see multiple offers on the right home. See, so there's always a property you know, on the market that will fit their needs and budget and everything. You just have to keep looking and keep be focused. So does that answer your question, Cindy? I went all.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm in, obviously experience counts for certain, in that case, of knowing where to go to look, and knowing also what lenders are out there. There's so many different ones and they all have different packages they can offer.
And regarding your point about new agents or agents who don't have that much experience, there is no issue working with a new agent as long as they are supported and backed by a solid, experienced agent. How many times do I get calls from buyers who, I mean, maybe 4 or 5 times a year, but even that's too many, where they call me and say, oh, we have this problem. How do we solve it? I'm like, it's too late. You cannot, you know, you're already in this situation. You have a realtor who's not experienced or buying their home, right? It's like they work for less. And as a result, they don't do anything because they can't make money. And so it ultimately, who's going to pay for that? The buyer. Because you get somebody who doesn't know anything, they are not treating it as a business. This is a business. This is not a job. And people, you have to understand the difference between a realtor who is looking at it as a job. They are basically a showing agent. They are not a true experienced realtor who's going to problem solve for you. They're just showing. Then pay them for the showing, but then get help. But you have to have representation now. The rules are different. So don't hire just a showing agent because you will end up doing so much more on your own and without the experience. So that's the risk. If you're willing to take the risk, take it. But most people shouldn't, because real estate is a complicated business. If every house and every piece of land was the same, then we would not even be in business. Amazon would be selling homes.
Don't say that too loud, because you never know. Jeff Bezos might get that idea. That might be bad.
We can't stop the world from changing, but you know, there's, you can always evolve. But it is not as easy. Each property is different. Each situation is different. It's just but that's why it's so interesting.
Well, every day is different for a realtor.
Yes.
Right.
True.
Yeah. So what kind of marketing strategies do you take in order to kind of set yourself apart? I know there's the social media aspect. Do you use staging for your listings? What kind of follow-up process do you go through to help with that?
So, we do. My marketing is, I have a design background. So my everything from photography to the house showing well, fixing it beforehand. I just showed a house that was, I had sold before, and it was so tired. And so if I had a client who has to buy by May, and if it was in decent condition, she would have bought it. And it was a neighbor's house that I had sold. And I'm like, I can't even believe this person's sign is on the front, because it is absolutely, they're doing complete disservice to the seller, because you have a ready, willing buyer who wants to buy in this area, and that is their price point. And look at the house. It was terrible, terrible condition. So what does everything you do say about you as a realtor? If you're not able to show value, you're not able to show your client, the seller, that if we do this, we will get money or we'll get results, then the marketing is that, right? It shows to the buyer, I am worth moving into. Nobody wants a house that needs $50,000. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't take $50,000. It may take $20,000, but the buyers don't know that. So preparation, photography, the home smells, how it's marketed online, showing results in a PDF, like this was before, this is after, this is what we did, this is how much money was spent, this is the staging cost, these are the marketing, this is the social media marketing, we emailed our database, you have all of the different marketing that we do, this is what was done, these are the offers received, this was a list price, this is a sold price, negotiated repairs. Now you have the full package or details on a home, and this way you collect assets like that, create them, and to show sellers who can see what you're doing, they don't have to guess. So buyers can also see through this, and they will absolutely fall in love when the house is well prepared and priced right. So that's basically what it takes. And then the marketing, the reaching the customer is the icing on the cake. If you don't do it, the MLS takes care of a lot of it, but you have to post it online. And then we have a database. I have a database of about 8,000 people, and I'm building it as we go. And so we do weekly marketing and even social media. You have, the messaging is changing. So you can't just say, oh, just list it. No, you have to make it personal. You have to give a story around it, and do videos and, you know, walkthrough videos, just talk about it. So there's a lot of effort that needs to go out, but, and open houses, I mean, you know, those are the things. So overall, that's how we do. And as far as follow up with our clients, we do a weekly update, which we say, okay, this is what was done, including snapshots of our ads, of our posts. Everything is is put in one email and sent to our clients so that they can see the what's the feedback, what is what are we hearing, why did that one go under contract and not this. So I do, along with that, what is a new competition that came up, which homes went under contract, and call the agents to see, get the details about why did their, how is their home different than ours if it's in the same neighborhood. So literally giving 100% of the knowledge, respectfully telling them what your opinion is, it is huge. And I have implemented one more fantastic approach, and I feel like it's almost like I was sitting on a gem. I have a client currently who needs, the whole house is tired. I mean, it's really in bad condition. And they're going through a tough time, but it needs to sell. They can't afford to hold it. And I did a whole email of what are we going to talk about? So the points, it's very short. Explaining the issues, what needs to be addressed, what is my opinion, the estimates. I have all the estimates that I got for them. And here's why I suggest this, this, and this. But like first option, second option, third option. It is a long email. But guess what? When they read it, they get 100% of the information in order to make a decision. I have started implementing this, and guess what I get? I want to go with option one or two. And that's it. Let's move forward. Now imagine bombarding this kind of information on a phone call. Yes, it took work to put this, but they get 100% of the information, including my opinion and why, to in order to make a good decision. And that is the respect I'm talking about. The clients know what they need to do if they have the knowledge. And we have been too much into, as realtors, saying, because I said so. Oh, my house. It's not our house. It's their house. Let them make a decision, but give them, arm them with solid information so that they can, their lives are on stake, right? Right now, their time, it's extremely stressful for a lot of people. It's first house that they're selling or second, you know, so their lives are on hold basically till the house sells. So just being respectful and giving them knowledge in a concise way without mincing words, but very, very methodical. It's working so well. I'm like, wow, that's all. We're going forward with spending $25,000. That's what, or 20,000 or whatever. And because they were confident that we are doing the right thing. So it's just fantastic. It's great to evolve this way, right? That's my goal, is to just keep do better and better and better. Once we find something, just implement, have systems, have processes, and then they will, their clients are grateful for it because, you know, that's why they've hired us.
Yeah, and I will say, with the ever-changing market, you've got to be on your toes. So implementing these new ideas, coming up with new and fresh ideas, it's always going to keep moving. So you got to keep moving with it.
Exactly.
So when we wrap up the show, usually this is the point in time where I love to be able to ask our guests, what is one of the biggest no-nos that an agent can do, or you can share a really good horror story with us, which I love.
Well, I'm going to share something that will support everything I've said today. And I'm going to share photographs. Okay. So this is a house in Las Colinas that I sold a few years back.
Okay.
Okay. You see how it is? Okay. Yep. This was the listing that didn't sell. Okay. This is the actual house.
Oh, wow.
This is the
Yeah.
house. It is a flat roof. This is a iPhone photo. You can't do injustice to the clients. They couldn't sell the house. They had to lease it twice. And this was an agent who was their somebody, a colleague at the office, and their wife. Exactly situation that you talked about, Cindy. So what we did, we spent $6,000 years the previous, years the after, because I understood that this house from the ground doesn't show well because it has a Mediterranean flat roof. So I got a drone shot that was a low shot. The buyer came from Houston specifically to see the house. This was the only photo of the yard.
Oh my gosh.
This is the yard. It is an oversized lot. You can see the pool next doors. This side of Las Colinas, this is in Riverside, no, not Riverside, this is La Valita. This was the only street where they had larger lots. So the owners have paid more. And it's just incredible. So $6,000, including staging, may converted the house, which looked like this inside,
Oh yeah.
To this.
Oh wow.
And
That's completely
this,
different.
we were competing with new construction at that time. So nobody was coming to look at the house. This is what experience and some effort does. You have to prepare a house. We are not selling vegetables here. We're selling homes. We're selling people's lives. We have to do what it takes to prepare the home and not be cheap about it. And it didn't take a lot. It took a little bit of time and effort of putting some fresh flowers, cleaning up the beds. I mean, whatever we want in a home is what we should do so that our buyers are, they love it. They'll be thrilled to make a good offer, right?
Right.
So.
Especially if you have somebody coming up from Houston. I mean, that's a bit of a
Yeah.
ways. You got to make your time worthwhile.
Well, and they would not have seen it. How did they see it in Houston, right? It
Exactly.
came up as a preferred home, or not preferred, but as a one of those terms on every site, because there were more and more people who clicked on it. That's how you get your home up. Is you this is automatic. You do a good job as a realtor as well as a seller. It's teamwork. It's not just me or
Yeah.
them. It's both.
Right. Well, Roddy, I really appreciate you coming on to Sell and Tell today. We loved having you here. Everyone, make sure that you like and subscribe. And if you want your listing featured as the listing of the week, reach out to us, let us know. And again, Roddy, thank you so much. And go ahead and give us your contact information for that listing you gave us earlier today.
Well, my phone number is 214-435-0771, and I wish I had a QR code. I don't have it ready. But next
We'll
time,
make
I will.
sure we get you one.
Yeah,
Yeah, we'll get you one.
okay.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much. Y'all have a great weekend. Make some sales and come tell us about them afterwards. We'll see you next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks. Yes, thanks, Cindy.